Well, well, well. Oh, yes. Let's see. Let's see. Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Spirit Radio. Welcome to, well, the Alternative Sunday Service is what I've started to call this. I will be joined in a moment or so by Andrew Bartzis, and we will be talking about stuff. Yeah, so you'll have heard me running up the stairs and doing all that stuff. So, yes, welcome to the chat room, and very warm welcome to Neil, who's a fellow Englishman living in Scotland, musician, erstwhile jammer. It's good to hear you, and it's merrily like a goldfish in a sandwich bowl. Yes, it's lovely to have you along, and great that you've got your computer running so that you can actually hear the show. Welcome to everybody else. Welcome to the Netherlands. Welcome to America. Who else is here? A couple of Howlers. Hello, Howlers. Howler is a default name. Thank you very much, and so I'm going to start a little tune that will get me a chance to connect with Andrew Bartzis. So we are now going to start a very special little program. Andrew requested it this afternoon. He says he's got some new information. We're going to be talking about the pyramids. I saw an interesting video about pyramids this afternoon, as you do. So while we're doing that, I'm going to be putting that on. So. Yeah, we'll be with you in a second. And welcome to... and welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. We don't even have a name for this show yet. Hopefully by the end of the show we'll have one. And today we're going to be speaking about pyramids. Do give us audio feedback if there's anything up with it. I've done a little thing with the audio today. I should get a better bit rate. The music won't sound so good because it's gone to mono. I'm running in mono rather than stereo. That should improve the speech and the voices, but it's only a slight degradation on the music. But I hope you've enjoyed the music so far. Music came from, amongst others, the Sons of Arca, the Soul Surfers. Also, we have Blue Marten, who else? There's various other people. Oh, yes, Harrison Kennedy from Tracy Kennedy's father. Some Sirius, some Muse, and of course my old band, the Mystery School. That's that one with the terrible qualities and Beatles, and the little interjections, as if you all didn't know, that was from Alex Collier. So I hope you're all going to enjoy our little conversation this afternoon, we'll be discussing some aspects of pyramids that you may not have considered, or that may be beyond your knowledge. Well, I hope they are, because that's what we're here for expanding your knowledge and bringing you beyond what you already know. So, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my fellow co-host and psychic, Andrew Bartzis. Good afternoon.
Hey, JP, how are you doing today?
I'm very good.
So, we should put it out there that we're taking names for the Super Sunday Special Off Hours On Air Show. It needs to have a better name than Super Special Show.
It does.
So we'll be taking chat room votes over the next 2 hours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody come in with some names. I actually came up with a name years and years ago. which was actually for a live event, which was on a Sunday, which was an open mic session. But I wanted to maybe expand it a little bit and bring it online. But it was basically one of the local cafes here. And I called that the Alternative Sunday Service, or TAS. But it sounds a bit like a Russian news agency, so I'm not going to go with that. So anyway, good afternoon, and you called me earlier. I've got some new stuff. So, what's been going on for you, Andrew?
I've been pulled into Galactic Hive Mind, which is similar to when they have these big council meetings. And to make a long story short, somebody here on this planet that is a member of the administration of the Illuminati Cabal, not in the administration of the government, one that would be on the higher echelon, did something that was rather unnice, and it essentially lit the hair on fire of council members throughout the galaxy. So it kind of spurred things into action that I don't think the Illuminati Cabal expected. You know, it was a minor offense to them, but to others it was very major. They've been keeping this planet quarantined for so long, and they've had it on the lockdown, that it was very difficult for the nefarious forces to get in and out of here. If anyone's listened to my shows, they understand that I'm doing shows with Michael McCracken and Cindy Brewer, and we're talking about the Alien Trade Pact. And specifically, some orders came due that the people down here, the administration down here, had to fulfill an order and deliver it to a very specific point in time and space so it could be teleported off planet onto a ship, and then that ship could be teleported outside of this galaxy, and then it could be delivered its cargo. Well, they have been doing these smuggler runs, and many of them have been caught. And so they developed a piece of technology that allowed them to essentially start in the central sun in the Narther galaxy and do a series of extended jumps to other central suns, and then ending up through our sun, so they were out of phase with our reality when they came out. And as soon as they came into reality, they were in the position to lock onto the cargo payload within like 1/10 of a micro nanosecond, and then they would teleport that out and continue on to another galactic central sun, and then end their mission and return to where the cargo needed to be delivered. There is a device that's called the Psychic Telescope, and that is what they were using to predict how these smuggling ships could travel through the galactic central suns, which ultimately is tied into our pyramid structure on our planet. That was one of the pieces of super ancient technologies they discovered about 200 years ago. And as they began to expand their understanding of this, they were able to stop these attempts at pulling stuff off of Earth. Well, as I was saying, they did that. The nefarious people came up with a more brutish way of basically just bursting into our atmosphere, taking the cargo and leaving, which caused extreme hardship to the lower dimensional entities that are trying to be born into our planet. Essentially, each time they're doing that, they were murdering all these baby souls coming in. And the Illuminati, who doesn't care about life, thinking it was a minor offense, and the Galactic Federation of Light, who endures life at every level, said, no, this ends. And people that were in a neutral position that were not acting are now acting in a very impressive way. And it's not that we're going to see changes on our physical level, but on an astral level, that the attacks are going to end. Some of this high-end etheric mind control satellites that are out of phase are going to begin to be removed. You know, Tolik has talked about some of this technology before, but some of it was so intertwined with our society, if they removed them, it would cause an opposite effect in the timeline. The administration here on the planet has planned this world very, very deep. So deep that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction on 9 dimensions of concept. So if you think one move here, you still have to think 25 moves ahead of the time, not on one dimension, but on 9 dimensions. So that's the big chess game that's being played here right now. And our pyramid structures directly interact and intertwine into all of this. Recently, the 21st Rebecca went to and did a meditation in the pyramid, and look at her. She's had a life-changing event from that. She's deciding that, you know, radio's not for her, but she's having her own spiritual awakening and physical awakening and awakening back into this world, as are many other people that are in the truth movement. It's like been a rebirth in certain areas. And this rebirth is, on the 21st, the pyramids did exactly what they were supposed to do. They acted like an anchor and prevented this world from being teleported out of its place in the galaxy and into another galaxy. When our world was quarantined, it had already been teleported numerous times, and what it was used as is this forward-facing war planet that would trap souls in it under these stupid incarnation rules, and the multidimensional beings that are claiming themselves as creators, or the highest form of gods, were no longer able to move this planet around and make it a trap planet. Our pyramids did exactly what they're meant to be, anchors. Before this kind of war started, the original structure of the pyramids was to make Earth from a third-dimensional planet to a fourth-dimensional planet to a fifth-dimensional planet to a sixth-dimensional planet, and until ultimately where it can be its own etheric sun from within. And at that point is when Earth was taken down the de-evolutionary ladder through its pyramid structure into what it is now, so it could hold the billions and billions of life that is here now, and the trillions of life that are in our astral world waiting to come in through this process of advanced evolution that's based off of our central sun.
Wow. Okay, so there's a few data points there. You
right. I'm trying to measure myself so I don't pour all the spiritual information on you at once.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of historic data there. You're talking about multi-levels of realities. You're talking about the management, as David Wilcott calls them. You're talking about... Right, so... Okay, let's see if I can roll what you just said back at least a bit. So there was one of the Illuminati cabal, and they were doing something nefarious, which was to do with smuggling. Is that right?
That is correct.
Right.
Smuggling,
okay.
Smuggling, because DNA pieces and parts are people, clones. They needed to fulfill an order that would essentially give positive DNA to 250,000 species.
Right.
People,
is that
not species.
Is that a good thing?
Well, if they're your enemies, no.
All right. So, I see.
It's like illegal organ trading.
Yes.
Except they're doing it through DNA. I mean, if there was a JP clone out there, would you want to know?
He might be my bad twin.
He might be your good brother.
Good brother, yeah.
He might be being tortured. I mean,
yeah.
You have a right to your DNA, and the government says that you don't, and it openly trades it on the stock market.
Yeah, and okay. That's where it gets very unusual. They had presumably samples of people's DNA, body parts and things like that they were smuggling out, organs?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Gross. Okay. This was an Earth-based member of the cabal?
Yes, but you have to understand, some of these members of cabals have additional spirits that have been forced into them through energetic rituals that use the domination and control mechanism that is the actual brick-and-mortar buildings that represent our government. They are like giant psychic energy batteries.
Right, so within those you have, you got people with what you may call a kind of possessing entity that is generally dormant, like a virus, but when it's necessary is activated. Is that right?
No, it came here under special incarnation rules.
Right.
And essentially the Galactic Federation of Light was fighting against these very powerful eighth-dimensional entities that were attacking planets and trying to snuff out the core energy and basically be psychic vampires on a planetary scale. Suck the life force out of it so they could keep themselves in this false creator mode. So what they did is they retreated here, and they had this planet teleported here so they could use it as a fortress planet to just draw in the souls from the Galactic Federation, which is just around our corner. You know, we're in, basically it's in the backyard of, or the far backyard of the good guys. And so this fortress of, is here constantly acting like a trap, because they're able to camouflage the planet in a way as things go on the galactic highway. What's this energy reading? They go and research it, they get trapped. And then the souls that incarnate on that ship suddenly can't actually leave here because they're trapped, because they fell into the incarnation rules here.
Right. So, tell us... hang on. No, I was going to ask you to expand on that a little bit, but maybe we can talk about that later, because I'm still trying to get what you told us right at the beginning of the show. Right. Okay. So, that's an interesting thing. Norm, Free Sovereign, has just asked, could this smuggling of body parts be very much part of the extreme mainstream media promotion of abortion for more body parts from the fetus remains?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Spot on, Norm. They would encapsulate these body parts in some kind of container mechanism.
Gold.
Hmm?
In gold. That's how they're able to resist the very special form of teleportation they were using to get past the forces that had quarantined this planet.
Right.
That's why all the gold's gone.
That's where all the gold has gone to.
Yep.
To wrap body parts.
And DNA and base clones and fetuses.
Wow.
Protect them in a gold sheeting.
Okay, and these have all left the planet now. All the bits that they do.
Yeah, they have very special orders that have to be fit on a very difficult timeline.
I see. So this is like a kind of galactic Amazon. And they say, all right, we want this kind of DNA and that kind of DNA and deliver it to us on this date and stuff like that, yeah?
And they have a very narrow window to complete that, otherwise they don't get paid.
Right. And what do they get paid in?
Technology.
Souls.
And information. And additional knowledge on how to crack the Andromedan and Pleiadian grid that's in and around them.
Right. Okay, so let's have a quick word about the quarantine and the grid and stuff like that. By the way, are we talking about what races are we talking about? You did say you mentioned an aether. I mean, can we talk about reptilians? I feel comfortable with reptilians somehow. So oh yes, the reptilians. It was a bit like Star Trek when you were very happy with the Klingons. You know, we finally made peace with the Klingons, and then the Borg appears, and they were like the most scary thing ever. Let's talk about these people who don't like us.
They're generally known as reptilians. There's several dozen different forms of them. They live on the inner Earth, and some have evolved enough to be on Hollow Earth, and they've shut off the evil ways. And then there are the ones that are not the good guys, and those are the ones that became higher dimensional false creator spirits. They essentially ascended themselves to the consciousness level of a planet. But they did it through a method of domination and control, and not through a method of co-creation and positive reform of spiritual rules. They figured out how to beat Creator's basic set of incarnation rules with technology, as well as the advanced rules of galactic understanding of how planets evolve. They understood it, and at that point, their reptilian mind said, we're going to spread around the galaxy. That's what we're meant to do. And in their own mind, they were. Because they were created for a reason, and they believed their reason was to replace the creator spirit. So they went and dominated thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of worlds, and over the years, they began trying to explore into other galaxies, go beyond the Great Beyond and get into another galaxy. And then they ran into people like the Galactic Federation of Light, or whatever you want to call it. I just call it the good guys, because there's 5,283 of them that are united. and they don't use one name. They use many, many names. Some species will donate 100 cycles of their warriors every time, and then they're off for 100 cycles or something to that effect. So there's always a big force that can respond to any action. So for several hundred thousand years, they fought back and forth until finally members in the reptilian society figured out how to evolve on a much greater scale and bypass the lessons of the light and the lessons of the neutrality and stick with domination and control. And it was by instilling false religions on planets that were of lower vibration, lower technology. So they essentially were able to quick evolve third dimensional, fourth dimensional reptilian spirits into fifth and sixth dimensional reptilian spirits, basically by using the stolen prayer and psychic method of other beings and other planets, as well as the psychic saddle they had put on the planet. So after thousands of years after that, they began to evolve hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these six-dimensional bastards, I'm just going to call them that, who ultimately are the Archons. And they said, all right, we cannot beat the good guys in open space combat. It's just the technology is just too off balance. So they figured out another way to fight them, which was by making these called war planets, which were essentially planets that they put these nasty Archons on, set up very screwed up incarnation rules, and just started pulling spirits from other planets here. Like a ship would jump in, they'd teleport 20 people off, jump back to Earth, teleport them onto the ground, kill them, they're stuck here astrally. They can't go back to their worlds under their incarnation rules. So that's the kind of nasty things that they've been doing.
Right, and then there's also people who get here and fall here accidentally and fall into the reincarnation cycle as well. And
correct.
Is there hope for these people to get back to their races and their people?
Yes, that's what 2012 is about right now. That's what 2013 is about.
Right, and this is something that you were telling me on a private conversation, right? Okay, right. The latest thing has come from Seven in the chat room. If you're Catholic, every time the priest gives you a host that represents the body of Christ, you're eating part of a fetus. This is how people are involved in rituals of human sacrifice without even knowing they are.
Bingo.
Yeah. So, well done, Catholics. Strangely, not supporting abortion, actually supporting abortion. It's every church that uses the host, and they get their host from the Catholics. Great. I was going to say something else great, but great. That's a good thing. And anybody who's involved in this, does that invoke some kind of karma if you partake in this thing?
Yes, because I'm hearing an echo.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. It does affect you because when you come here, you have a set of incarnation rules. And then the tricky part of the rules come here. When you start doing things with uninformed, tacit consent, it gets really shadowy and really shady. So when you become part of a church, it has a very positive thing to it because the reality can't handle all the triple negatives and quadruple negatives. It has to have a bonus thing that keeps it going forward. So you do get something positive out of the church, but what you don't understand is by partaking in that, you are, each time you are giving a tiny droplet of your energy as, yes, I accept the screwed up rules of this, but I need to have faith in my life. And we do need to have faith in our lives. But you're essentially dripping away your soul. You have infinite in the astral realm, but you have finite in your body. And as these rules start to take away and take away and take away, they try to limit the infinite dream side of you so that every time you dream, more of the infinite has to come in here and replace what's being taken away. And that's how they de-evolve you down into a third dimensional or second dimensional spirit, keeping a herd of things that they can rapidly raise back up in dimension and then feed off again through whatever rules they're using.
Right, well, okay. did they make challah out of this stuff? Sorry, challah is the Jewish ritual bread that you get in a bakery. It's lovely stuff, but that's what we do.
Bread.
Huh?
That egg bread, yeah.
Yeah. It's very generic, I hope, isn't it? There's no thesis in that. Anyway, meanwhile, winding back to what you were saying, so they had these body parts and DNA samples that needed to be delivered. Who did they need to be delivered to?
Essentially a criminal organization that has understood our economic structure of domination and control and has tried to instill it on other planetary systems that are loosely aligned with the Draco Reptilians. Many of them have been defeated in their planetary structures, but they're still on ships, they're still out there, and what they're doing is illegal genetic modification of other species because they want to start the Earth experiment somewhere else because somebody put a rain down on their parade and locked the planet down. In every species, there's good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, it seems that way.
It's like the Jabba the Hutt mafia that's out there that's being hit one by one.
Yeah, and also it does seem that the bad guys outnumber the good guys by several factors.
In another galaxy, yes.
Yeah.
In this galaxy, no. They've had the ass beat out of them.
Right. Anyway.
That's why they resorted into combat tactics, like what's going on Earth.
Right. Because one of my guests, Mark Kimmel from the Andromedan Council, he was saying that this is like the last stronghold of the dark here on this planet, and this is why it's such a big show for everybody.
It's the giant pay-per-view event.
Mm. All right. Right, okay. 7's been saying it's the Jews that started this practice since the Dark Ages, and it's in the flower. Remember, they're the synagogue of Satan. Right.
It's actually long before that. When this world was a polytheistic world, there was the nefarious side of religion, and it was all about force incarnating angry spirits from the Draco Reptilian side into human DNA bodies, so they could raise their vibration and steal it out of that human body and back into a Draco Reptilian body, skipping the incarnation and vibration rules of their own planet, breaking Prime Creator's main rule, you must experience to expand.
Right. You must experience what?
To expand.
To expand. Right, okay. So they would limit their experiences by reincarnating as Draco and not expanding into human.
Right.
All right. Right, okay, so they had this big order, there's a criminal kind of conspiracy, the extra-galactic sort of thing. He got it straight from the mouth of a bishop in New York, right. So tell us a little bit about the teleportation systems that they were using. You were talking about like something that happened in a micro-nanosecond or something. Do you want to run through that again for me?
When you have 8th and 9th dimensional beings that are a part of this alien trade pack, so they can control several thousand different versions of themselves that are incarnated on many planets, so it's very difficult to have spies in their network. So you'll have several dozen of these negative eighth dimensional entities that are working as a criminal organization to get DNA off of Earth so they can procreate additional Earth-based domination control matrices on other planets that the good guys don't know about so that they can make more trapped planets here in this part of the galaxy. Now, the teleportation is technically it's on a psychic level where they're using the planetary consciousnesses of two or three planets to make a psychic wormhole that a vessel can go in and out of in a blink of non-existent time and exchange mass. It's the best way to describe it.
Right, so this is it starts from the psychic level, but it actually can move 3D materials, yes?
Yes.
Right. And so we get things blinking in and out, and it goes through central suns. Is that you're talking about galactic central suns?
Galactic central suns.
Right. So that which
they did it in such a way that they were able to go through dozens of galactic central suns, and then use our sun as the prime landing spot. At the same time, while the multidimensional beings were inter-exchanging mass on a psychic level, and all of a sudden that ship pops into that bubble, and there's mass exchange, and it pops back up. Never, and it's, that's the perfect smuggling operation, though.
Certainly is. Right, I'm still trying to get behind that.
ties into our pyramids.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and this is where it comes back to the pyramids, which many moons ago we had a conversation with Thomas Hughes, and he was talking about the Sasquatch and their origin on another planet. Which he says was Maldek, the exploded planet, and they knew that there was something going on. And so they teleported off Maldek and onto the Earth, and from their stories, they used the pyramids to do so. So that was the first time...
Thousands of species did that, actually.
Yeah, I bet. So how did they know that Maldek was going to be destroyed?
It was the natural evolution that was going on there.
Right.
In life there's death, and in death there's life. They needed a new place to go to, as did many, many, many other species. This kind of gets back deeper into the history of Earth, when it was what's known as a refugee planet, and it wasn't a trap the way it is now. Species would come here to be healed by Earth Mother. At that point, she was a seventh dimensional planet that had multiple species living on it, co-creating with it on many different dimensions in Hollow Earth, Inner Earth, Outer Earth, the Astral. There were great, how do I put it, societies that lived here and that created positive things. But at the same time, they were locked in an eternal war with the original concepts of the Draco reptilians before they split off into a few dozen species.
So,
the pyramids themselves were forms of transportation. The pyramids would rise up off the ground, align with our sun, which was aligned with another central sun in another galaxy, or a series of black holes, because they could also use black holes as a temporary jumping point. They did a mathematical formula that takes the galactic rotation, the center rotation of the planet and the sun, and they were able to formulate a system in which they could galactically transport the entire pyramid, as well as mass and objects that were around it.
Right, and this is presumably long before the place was covered in sand and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was a seventh-dimensional world at that point.
Right. Right. So the pyramid would lift off the ground, and at that time, was it still stone, or was it a...
It's always been stone.
Right.
Well, it lift off the ground because it would connect to the grid of Earth. And as it lifted off the ground, it lifted off in energetic form, even though it looked like it was still there.
Right.
So it kind of duplicated itself.
Oh, I see. So the etheric version of it, then.
Right. Yeah. But the etheric version, when it landed on another planet, became solid, and the side over here resolidified itself, and whoever was in and around it was suddenly on the other planet. But the actual pyramid itself was always anchored on Earth, even though it had suddenly reappeared on another planet.
Right, and this is the thing. It's anchoring. It's an anchoring thing. I mean, the way I see it, it's like a little stud, a rivet.
Correct.
that holds the surface to the ground, and it has a gravitational influence that goes all the way down to the center. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Just reading what Seven's putting there. He didn't believe people could be so crazy and corrupt, but they are. Bless your heart. You've got a good heart, Seven. So, all right. So, the pyramids were used, and on some level, are the pyramids that we have on the planet still operational? Or are they all disused in some way? Or did the 21st of December change that?
They're always anchors. There's a spiritual society that lives around them out of phase with this reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the Illuminati Cabal, they know it's there. They try not to interact with them too much because it'll raise their vibration and reveal some of the more secret plans they don't want them to know about. They've been retasked many, many, many times from their original purpose. But their original purpose was so specific about an anchor point that the technology, all the other technology that's in there, was just another way for the society that was in charge of this planet to use it for the resource of gathering resources or protecting the planet. Because Earth constantly has been going through this fortress stage over and over and over and over again. The original purpose of the pyramids was to anchor it so it can be a seventh dimensional world, so it can begin mass life creating, so it can go and be a seed planet for another galaxy. So plants, animals, bioorganisms, everything. Earth was meant to be the great water nursery to another galaxy. That's what its original purpose was for. But then they began to fight over it. Kind of see what I'm saying?
Right. So, yes. Because she's a 2-4. And in terms of rays, the Earth is a 2-4, which is second ray soul, which is universally accepting, and fourth ray, which is harmony through conflict. So being on her will harmonize anybody who's on here. And so she has a harmonizing influence and a healing influence, as you were saying. But she's like the beautiful woman that men fight over.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Millie has a very sad life because all the men are fighting over and not getting along.
That's right. That's right. And beautiful women experience that too. It's very interesting. So
I was actually told a rather funny, sarcastic kind of joke by an alien a few weeks ago, and he had been trying to understand what our association with cats were on the internet. He wanted to know why people thought Grumpy Kitty was so funny. And it took me a long time to come up with an explanation for him that, because he just wasn't understanding. And so finally he came back to me, and his description was Mother Earth is like the galactic cat lady. And we're the cats.
She collects cats. Right. That's quite good. All right, galactic cat lady. All right. Yeah, and cats have this fourth ray thing, you know, they're fierce. Oh, and the fourth ray can also be a warrior. So, like you say, a fortress planet. You know, don't mess with them. They may appear beautiful, but they have this energy there. Right. Okay. So we've got we're building up questions, and we'll keep breaking this down until everybody gets this. So here's a question from Insane Shane, which is, what about this buried pyramid in Alaska that's giving off power? I've not heard about that, but sounds about right.
That's a part of a network pyramid that was designed to be, how do I describe it, an etheric reflector for negative psychic attacks on this planet. Because many, many times that when this world was under attack and it did not have the actual physical troops to defend itself, what it did is it resulted into making these special crystal war cities where you had several hundred thousand people living in them, and they would develop a military technique in which they could psychically attack a whole planet in another galaxy, which would ultimately prevent them from sending forces here.
Right, so that's a kind of a remote viewer, remote influencer on a grand scale. Kind of
correct.
Thing. Right. Okay, so And the Buried Pyramid is presumably an automated system. Is that right?
Right. It's supposed to be a defense network or etheric defense network, so other planets that were attempting to psychic attack Earth herself here would have to run into that barrier.
All right. And the Earth is under psychic attack, yes.
Not as much as it was before. The incarnation rules are much more devastating to it than any of the psychic attacks right now.
Right, okay. Okay, okay, so here's a question from Swami. So Swami's, and thank you very much, Swami sent me a couple of pictures. I'll forward you to them. I don't know if you want to post them in the chat room there, Swami. He's in the Netherlands here, and he sent me timelines of the Clock of Giza, which is a very interesting set of photos. So one's, oh, gold, silver, bronze, iron, right? Oh, yeah, okay. So it's all the different ages. I'll see if I can forward these to you through our Skype connection here, Andrew, so you can have a look at those. Very, very interesting. They show the cycles of Giza Pyramid. And what's that called? Clock of Giza. Clock. No? Why can't I see it off the desktop? Where did they go? Oh, no. oh, they came through Merck, didn't they? So how did that get there? Oh, no. Sorry, I'm just muttering to myself and wasting time. So while you're doing that, while I'm doing that, you can speak. And there's more. Oh, yeah, there's Swami posting them. Thank you very much. Yeah, so... Seven's talking about the how we've all been kind of sullied by this whole thing, and makes it difficult for us to get away from this evil energy that we've all got a bit of.
Well, it's not necessarily the evil energy. It's, I mean, I understand where Seven's going from. I've done many shows with him. What it is there's. When you have something that spins round and round like a planet, densities are formed, and people start to form into soul groups and all sorts of things. And the people that are good are not as influenced by evil as you think. Even though they're still a part of the system, there's this original soul contract that Earth Mother has that will erase all of these other soul contract rules if the people come into a form and format where they're expressing their truth and freedom with Earth as a part of it. That is the Earth-based religion, the Earth-based spiritual evolution. So you can rapidly free yourself from it, but it still takes time to evolve in it and through it. And just as I described the negative psychic influencers, there are planets that are positively psychically influencing us, keeping Earth in a state of high generation. Example, the quarantine itself that's around Earth is based off of 10 planets in the Alcyon system that their whole spiritual purpose, if they're not part of the galactic exchange and commerce, they sit and constantly enforce the etheric grid around Earth, so it maintains a quarantine, so they cannot teleport our planet away and begin this trap planet in another galaxy and then spread the chaos and havoc. Something we got to realize is, the DNA that's on this planet relates to the DNA in thousands and thousands and thousands of other species. So not only if we get off, we could cause a toxic mess. We could start an influenza virus that could kill off trillions of people before they found a cure for it. So that's the big scale thing here.
That's kind of
When it comes to the pyramids, we can get off this planet. We really can. We just have to figure out how to use the pyramids again, and it won't be hard. We can throw off the cabal at any point in time. We have, collectively as a species, chosen not to because we've been dumbed down, because we don't fully understand our history, and because of the mind control techniques that have been out there. Well, Diesel, they've only been around for 100 years since TV and radio has been out, so... it's not a massive part of our society, the current form that's going on. Now, it can easily be done. You could have one or two ascended masters all of a sudden evaporate all of this technology that's there. They're not for a reason, because just as they described early on, these ninth dimensional beings that are acting in a form of domination can predict what's going to happen. So you have to do the most unpredictable things on nine dimensions of expression.
So that takes a bit of imagination, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, presumably, from what you're saying, is like people are actually doing it, and it is actually happening. So there is hope for the whole bunch of us.
Oh yeah. Understanding that the pyramids are anchors, and as people begin to meditate on that concept, interact with them. You know what? On a different scale, the people before us, let's say in the 1900s, had just been exposed to the pyramids, and they were lied to about it. The people 200 years ago, the only ones that know about it were the Masons and the Illuminati. Several thousand years ago, there might have been 10,000 people that knew about it.
Mm.
Now it's being exposed to us on a mass scale, and as we begin to invest in it as a culture of Earth-based citizens. And not individual nation citizens, you'll have a bigger understanding of what it is and what it can do for our freedom.
Okay, so there's Giza, right? And Giza's arranged like the belt of Orion. Does that mean it was created by Orionese?
No, it was meant to, let's say if you're on one part of the planet and you focused on it, you could remote view and then co-locate into the pyramid, and then send your consciousness to Orion or any of the central planets that are there, and then communicate in real time with them without actually having to leave the planet.
Right. Okay, so it's more like a central, if it was the internet, it would be what they call the central trunk.
Correct.
Or a
to that system.
Backbone to that system, yeah. It would be like Highway 66, you know. It would go from
as well as on a physical and a psychic level.
Yeah. So presumably, the whole night sky is mapped onto our planet as dimensional, cross-dimensional communications devices to different parts of the sky. Does it work like
Correct.
That?
Yes.
All right. Okay. This is good. A lot of it is kind of like, oh, I could have told you that. a lot of it is, and this is an example of us being dumbed down because we have all this stuff in front of our face, but because of the amount of distress that's in our minds, we don't have the space to step back and say, ah, I see that pattern matches with that pattern and that it works.
And the mind control that keeps you in a low vibration where you can't generate the memory power to retain it.
Yeah, and because you're being forced, for instance, by school, to remember a whole bunch of lies, and because they're lies, you can't remember them, so it takes more and more of your mental effort in order to retain the rubbish that they tell you at school.
You have pass go and collect $200.
Very clever. Very clever how it works. And it's like turning something inside out and inside out and inside out again, in a convoluted, interesting. So, meanwhile, we've got a bunch of galactic criminals who have been smuggling human DNA and human evolutionary information off this planet into an extragalactical Amazon warehouse, which has been supplying our enemies with our knowledge, our skills, our abilities. So if they haven't got it, are we like the most advanced? What's the deal? Why do they want Earth DNA, Andrew?
Let me describe it first.
Mm-hmm.
Our planet was one of the few seventh dimensional planets that was out there that would, when Prime Creator indicated that it was going to create a new galaxy and that it required souls to go and explore this new galaxy. And as those explorers, which were both positive and negative, said, you're opening a new galaxy, well, that means we have the opportunity to be imitator, mimic, creator spirits. And great spirit, the great creator said, you still have free will to do that. I won't stop you, but I'll give you a time cycle to expand and understand why you can't do that. So we opened up the new galaxy, and all of a sudden there was this new flood of exploration, and they needed things to populate that galaxy, and Earth was one of the few planets that was capable of being teleported from one location to another without being murdered and murdering all the people on it, and then to be able to become a great planetary nursery where it could create life forms, it can create plants and animal species that can be used to seed other worlds on a massive galactic scale. That's what Earth was supposed to be like.
Okay, you know, like a nursery on many levels for many different kinds of species.
Right.
Okay, and presumably there's somebody who runs the nursery and knows what the inventory is, whatever, knows what's on it and where it is, and for future reference for who?
For the Prime Creator's return to find out if there's been a balance of life force that's co-created with Earth Spirit.
Prime.
And if there is not a balance, the administrators, who are the Illuminati Cabal, will be deleted. And for each one that's deleted, the equal amount of spirituality will be reintroduced into here so that there can be back deposits going. The Illuminati Cabal has the Council of 12. The Council of 12 is the administrators of this planet. They are the ones that have been given the continuing responsibility of managing the 2,000 bloodlines, so the 2,000 bloodlines meld into one bloodline. That was the prime rule from the prime creator. That has not happened. In fact, the administrators or the Council of 12 have worked with these intergalactic criminals to spread this concept in thousands of other places. As I said in the beginning, they were those rapidly advanced fifth and sixth dimensional soul, Draco reptilian kind of weird things. It's hard to describe. They're the Archons.
Right.
So they're trying to spread this concept of doing battle because they got their ass beat so many other times. It's just a different way of doing battle on a grand scale. And Earth is the biggest prize because it has all DNA material to seed a whole galaxy.
So Earth is like the Arctic seed bank.
Yep.
Right. Okay, so we're getting, I mean, because we've all been told, oh, yeah, Earth is special, and then a lot of people say, oh, no, Earth is nothing special. And so it is a... It's like the big seed bank of every... So, hang on a second. Does that mean that everywhere in the galaxy we'll find places like places on Earth that have plants like places on Earth, but like with a much lower diversity? Or
yes.
Is it like everything is like a photocopy of Earth and, you know, you just...
It's not a photocopy. Everything will have, example, like if you have a set of red ants and a set of black ants, they're still ants. So they can still interbreed. What Earth has is the ability to come to any planet and begin the process of interbreeding. There won't be this dead-end interbreeding stage because Earth has enough of the common DNA of the galaxy to be the nursery.
And there's this other thing, is that mutations happen on Earth. Is that's part of why the Earth is, because it allows that expansion to happen?
On one level, yes. Yeah. On the other level, most mutations come from these screwed up incarnation rules.
Mm-hmm.
You have spirits that are like me and you, who plan 1,000 lifetimes ahead of time to break one specific rule, so that in the next lifetime, we get to remember a lot more things when we come out of the birth canal.
Right. For some reason, I didn't hear that. Can you say that again in a slightly different way?
Okay. there are spirits who plan their lifetimes, 1,000 lifetimes ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is for is so that they can break a specific incarnation rule so that when they come to the next lifetime, they remember more things instead of having coming out a complete slate from the birth canal.
Right. So does that mean, yeah, because my mind went off when you said break the incarnation rule, I was thinking, is that like what Jesus did when he said, okay, kill me, I'll come back, kind of thing. Yeah?
Yes, and it's specific. Example in yours, it was so that you can come through as a ray reader, but on a different scale that's been seen in this society for thousands of years.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You're just beginning to scratch the abilities of your ray readings. Ray readings are done on many, many other planets. If there was an alien from Alcyon sitting in front of you, you would be able to give him a ray reading, and he'd understand everything you were telling him. And you wouldn't even need to speak his language. That's how common that is on other planets.
All right. But, that's why you don't find many ray readers on the internet, is it?
Right.
Because, you see, the thing is, that when I started this, the reason that, you know, I started listening to Rebecca Jernigan's show, I had a bad relationship, I wanted to get away, so I found internet radio talk shows, and then I found myself on Camelot, and then Rebecca's, and then... But I've been looking for somebody to teach me more about the rays, and I found zilch, no one. And I thought, that's very strange. How come? This is the key knowledge, the thing that holds everything together. All the different disciplines of astrology and numerology and all these things are concentrated in the understanding of the vibrations that translate to these ray numbers. And it's,
right.
You know, they're just tags. They're just, you know, because people argue about colors, and for right reasons, because there's lots of different frequency octaves of colors that people talk about. People argue about musical notes because you've got 432, 440, all this stuff. So just saying ray 1, ray 2, ray 3 gives you a completely neutral, non-emotional, triggering way of talking about. People in a way that prevents people being triggered and not listening anymore.
Right, you're not coloring it with dogma.
That's right.
It's just the ray reading.
No dogma. My karma ran over my dogma. So,
right.
So that's how I got here. So,
you planned by being a ray reader on a grand galactic scale in previous lifetimes. So you did so much good that when you came here to be through a set of crazy incarnation rules, you looked at the incarnation rules and said, I see you, all of your rays, and you just did the lifetime chess move to have all of the experiences that you needed to have, and once you completed them, you're here now with all of those ray skills intact. You may not fully remember all of the lifetimes, but all of the skills are intact from your home planet.
Which is?
Alcyon.
Alcyon. Very interesting. Those people who know me personally will know that I've carried a painting around with me. It's not a painting, it's a picture. So, you know, 3 feet by 2 feet. Picture of the Pleiades. I had a motorcycle accident on the Seven Sisters Road. I used the Pleiades as navigation. You know, whenever I want to go somewhere, I look at where the Pleiades in the sky and I just go towards it. I tell you, it always finds me where I need to go. It was that's very odd.
Well, that's ironic that you just described it like that, because in your previous lifetimes before you came here, one of the things you knew is you had to be able to guide the galaxy. And that was how you raised your ability to be a ray reader. And you were an astrogator on a ship that was a biosphere that was exploring new galaxies. And you essentially would use your ability to read rays of other planets and stars and solar systems, be them alive or dead, and you could help navigate these biospheres through these completely unknown territories.
Yeah, because you can, if you can tune into the ray frequency, which is it's like a melody, it's like a bunch of notes, a bunch of frequencies. It doesn't have to be a melody, but I suppose it would work out like a telephone number. When you punch in the telephone number, it goes beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 boop. Some people can do that, actually, because it's two notes at the same time. If you can find out the frequency of different things, or those ray numbers, you can, yeah, literally, because everything has it. It's a part of the nature of everything that it's made of frequencies, because we're in a holographic universe, and we'll talk about
that.
Yeah, and so you get into different frequencies, and that makes your frequency, and that's how you can tune into something, and that's exactly what a telephone number is. Yeah.
And as I was saying, as you began to master this ray ability in your other lifetimes, in some of these lifetimes you'd live 10,000-15,000 years as a ray reader the entire time.
Mm.
Okay. But as a ray reader, you were also exploring other galaxies, other universes, because it was all vibration.
Yeah.
And as you became aware of the battle on Earth, you and another soul group said, all right, let's plan this battle. We know the bad guys are going to do this, and they're going to drip it out to the very end and use everything in their book to screw up the incarnation rules. What can we do to plan ahead of them, like a massive ninth dimensional chess master game?
Mm.
That's what I did. That's what you did. That's what Dave at Roll Spirit Radio did, and a number of the other hosts that are here.
Yeah, it's and that also happened on smaller cycles. So like 13,000 years ago, we would have met during the last crossover point when it was crossing over down into whichever way it was going from south to north probably. We'd say, okay, we'll meet you there. And some of us had to invent the internet in order for this to happen.
Yep. Because it was hard to connect by correspondence back then.
Yeah. We didn't have emails and mobile phones. So, yeah, we had to invent all of this communication stuff, because that's the only way that I would have found them. Actually, I found it through love. In 20 years ago, I had a girlfriend, I met her through a band that I was in, which was called The Mystery School. And I met this girlfriend, and she introduced me to Karma Sonom Phuntsuk, who taught me all about the rays, and I sometimes play some of his stuff on there. And it was all through love that I got to the things. So, yeah. Interesting. So Trem's asking a question. That is a very interesting question. Is there a best time of day or night to meditate, or just whenever get the wild hair? There is a point, and this was mentioned in David Wilcock's book. He's spoken about this before. And it's essentially, it's 1:30 p.m. at local sidereal time. Sidereal time is instead of regarding the sun as the fixed point, because we're moving around the sun, that we do it from a fixed star. I don't know what fixed star that is. It's probably Alcyone. When you go on sidereal time, it's 1:30 is when your local area is directly below, or directly above you, is the galactic center in Sagittarius A. So I would say that was the best time to meditate. It was a time that was discovered to be 400 times more psychic than any other time of day. So have you got any experience in that, Andrew?
If you're an Earth-based entity, one that's been primal amount of your lives are here, that is functioning right for you. If you're someone that's a younger soul, or someone like me or JP, who can trade incarnations in and out of this planet because we figured out the incarnation rules, as was a number of others, so you live a lot of lifetimes out of the planet, and then you said, all right, I'm coming back to the trap, do the do or need here, and then you leave again, and every time you come back, you keep bringing more souls that are going to do the same thing and follow the plan that where they could all of a sudden time lock their abilities in a future event and trap the administrators who were trying to predict everything. That's why there's a lockdown around this planet, is they trapped them. They caught them in a mistake. So what's your actual time of day for the day or night is your most amount of power? It really depends on how you dream, when you wake up, and as you begin to wake up, how much dream time you remember. If you're a person that doesn't remember your dreams, and generally, as JP would describe, that would be the default time you would go to. If you do remember your dreams, and that time that you wake up to all the dreams fade away, that is ultimately your peak time. If you're really special, you can wake up during your dream and then continue your dream and then have 3 or 4 or 5 hours still in that dream state, high energy state. But it requires discipline to wake up out of the dream, return to it in a meditative state, and then co-create with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can catch that moment, that's a great moment. Because, I mean, even to the point of just when you're dreaming and you can remember to do it, is to plan your day and decide what you want to happen that day, you know, even if it's just like mundane things like getting some work done, you know, it will psychically push all the rest of the pressing events around you away so that you have the time and space to do so.
Exactly. Those are the shamaning moments inside people.
Yeah.
When they choose to manifest stuff in their life. That's how our deja vu was born.
Oh, deja vus, yes. I've experienced, when I was a kid, and when I was young, I didn't used to remember my dreams day to day. And actually still do. Still don't. But I seem to remember having dreamed something at the point that I experience it in this world. And it's like I've experienced the whole scenario, whether it was a dress rehearsal or holograph or something, and then I experienced it, and it's like there's a delay. It's a bit like the delay that we have in manifesting our radio show here, that I'm speaking at 14:09, and people are going to hear it about 14:10 or so. As it propagates through the matrix, through the event. And so is there a kind of dream space where that does happen, where you're planning, you're writing the world, you're creating your movie, and then comes a point later when it's kind of manifested out,
yes.
where you act out that same movie?
Yes. What you were describing is specific for your incarnation rules. Some people may experience it differently because they haven't lived the same kind of past lives. If you are resonating with it, it just means you're what's called a fifth column soul, one who had enough of the information of how to incarnate here and how to break the rules if you planned your lifetimes correctly. What JP was describing there is when he came into this lifetime, he came in with all of his ray readings intact. That means all he had to do was go out and find the teachings that were in the history and then co-create with them and make it a part of his daily life, which he has. It naturally resonated with him. And then as the skills began to grow, his higher spirit knew that he would find things. And as you would find things, you can't trigger the one domino where all of them other fall out. So it uses things like deja vu and dreams to help balance you so you don't all of a sudden break the incarnation rules and then get kicked off the planet.
Break the incarnation rules. I like the sound of that. How do I do that?
You get kicked off the planet when you do. There's specific things that if you do and all of a sudden have all this knowledge that you're not supposed to, because they're limiting the total number of potential beings that can have the vast majority of the knowledge.
So
your dreams are where you can break the rules, and if you are able to remember more of your dreams as you begin to wake up and meditate and co-create with it, you can bypass the rules of the numbers of people that are limited the potential. which was set up by the administrators, which is the Council of 12.
Let's talk about the Council of 12 then.
Okay.
Are they the ones who are known as the Grey Council?
Not really.
No.
Grey Council is a little something different.
Okay.
Council of 12 are the 12 administrators that have been given the original word by the prime creator, the original creator of the galaxies. Basically, they were the highest level of evolved entities then, and said, you're going to break up into positive, negative, and neutral. And you're going to be 12 that are going to be on this planet, which is going to be vital in the many millions of the years of the future. So this Council of 12 has been here going through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and it needed DNA, it needed people, it got bored, it made all these wonderful societies, they all left, until finally Earth's the seventh dimensional planet, and these things come around that are called the Draco Reptilians and said, oh, we could have fun with these. And they began to de-evolve out of Prime Creator's original mission, and they started everything what I've recently talked about. So now they're at a point where Prime Creator is returning and going, what do you have for me? Part of his original rules was there are 2,000 bloodlines on this planet, which was the end of the last big wars. And what it was a way for all these spirits to have positive karma between them all. So 2,000 bloodlines would be one bloodline, and there would be no more violence between all these bloodlines over this single planet. The administrators were given the task to make sure the 2,000 came into one. Well, when the reptilians came around, they said, we're bored, let's have some fun, and they got drawn into the galactic drama again, and again, and again, and again, till it was time wars that are around them that are affecting hundreds of other galaxies, and it was a bunch of teenage kids going wild, partying their ass off, snorting coke all the time. That's what it turned into, the train wreck that we have now. So these 12 are in charge of the 2,000 bloodlines. The 2,000 bloodlines form the Illuminati Cabal, which are the central 300. Those central 300 are the primary psychics that help control the planet. Under them are primary administrators who help control governments, so on and so forth, down the chain of the pyramid. So the guys at the top are the high-energy beings that can interact with planetary Earth's mind and do mind control through that. Well, Earth is no longer accepting that. Prime Creator is going to return and said, are the 2,000 bloodlines one? How many do you have? Earth, the Prime Creator said, you must maintain a minimum of 1,200 people that were from 2,000 bloodlines to a single dominate bloodline so that can interact with all species. They have absolutely failed at that mission.
So
there's less than 100.
We need to I like the idea of this the next part of the story, right? Because what we've got to do is merge all the bloodlines, yeah?
Right.
So
that's what Prime Creator's original task to the Council of 12 was.
Right. And so basically we need to how can I put this? interact and breed with as many different races of human as we can. Or does it need to be a little more ordered than that?
Yeah, well, some of the bloodlines aren't on Earth anymore.
Oh, well, that's not handy.
Remember I also said that the 12 was broken down into positive, negative, and neutral?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the neutral spirits were kicked out by the light and dark forces a long time ago. So there was no longer a neutral balance here. That's why it's a bunch of teenage kids. I describe it as a bunch of teenage kids on a coke binge. That's what it is.
Hmm.
Okay? There's no neutral balance here anymore.
Right. So there was a proton, neutron, electron stuff going on.
In the Council of 12.
In the Council of 12. And presumably there were three of each. No, four of each.
Four of each.
And so the distribution has changed. Do you know what that is now?
It's just between the forces of light and darkness. It's actually like 7-5. Because a number of the light forces were forced to ascend, evolve out of here because they were threatening the offspring on other planets. It was like a big blackmail. Either Archangel, blah, 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 you go, or we're going to start attacking your homeworld and murdering billions of people. He did naturally what he did. He left. So they gain an extra member on the council.
Right. So basically the council needs to be reformed. So, right. Okay. So there's...
Well, you got to realize what Parm Creator's message to them was, I will reciprocate. If there are a minimum of 1,200 of these spirits that are co-creating in the 2,000 bloodlines, your administratorship will continue. If not, for every one you are short, I will begin to delete the previous positive members in your previous members in your energy structure of a pyramid, and replace it with the balancing energy, which would be a neutral person, which is like you and me.
Right.
We can see through neutrality. We can understand it at an energetic level.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you, a prime creator, created you, but what it's saying is, let's say one of those super powerful psychics that are there all of a sudden is going to die, and then somebody that's in a had been in a vegetable for 35 years in the hospital all of a sudden is going to wake up and kill himself and go, I'm here to change the world. Because he'll have all the potential of that which was deleted in the Council of 12 power structure, that particular entity that was deleted.
Right. So this would be somebody doing like a CAPEX, entering the body of an otherwise redundant. It's like I'm talking in terms of the physical being rather than the, somebody who wasn't anywhere. In their society, it's like the body being kept alive, really, and that they could jump into something like that and start doing a thing. Yeah,
that's right. But it happens at many different levels. There are a lot of these ascended beings that are going to be deleted replacements are going to come in as children, or come in as walk-ins, which you know well of. It doesn't just have to be about it. It was just the example.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some will also come in the sense of spirit guides.
Right. Interesting. So, welcome, Gothy. Yes. Reiki master and not religious. That's right. Well, there's a lot of people who are religious, and in this group there's people who are spiritual rather than religious. So, here's the thing. So we've got the protons, who you could say are positive, and you've got the electrons, who you'd say are negative, and you've got the neutrons, who have a neutral charge. Yet they all carry mass, and they all have spin, and all this stuff. We contribute to the balance of things. So let's get back to the Council of 12. So they are. Expecting the boss to come home. Daddy's coming home. When is this expectation? Is this what 2012 is about?
December 21st was the signal to them they had to do the audit on their planet.
And
the audit is they failed. And they're figuring out how they can communicate with them because they've muddled down their own abilities. They can no longer communicate with them. So in the contracts that they were given, they have X amount of time until the planetary central sun begins its pulse. Its pulse will go to all the other suns that are in our galaxy, and all those suns will begin to pulse the audit of life energy through Earth's sun. Then Earth's sun will do its pulse of audit energy, and it will scan the Earth in total, and nothing can be hidden from it, and they'll determine what will happen. That'll determine the response of the prime creator of neutral.
That sounds like judgment day to me.
It isn't judgment.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It has no judgment. It's neutral.
Yeah. But it's an assessment.
An audit.
Yeah, and
it is looking for the people that will go ahead and make sure that the 2,000 bloodlines become one. And it'll look for the...
Oh, Andrew, are you still there? You just disappeared.
I'm still here.
Oh, sorry. It disappeared when you said it will look for...
It will look for people like you and me that understand that you need the 2,000 bloodlines to be one and do what the healing thing is necessary. It won't let opaque people, it'll look for transparent people. It'll look for people good of heart, mm-hmm. so that a species can come together as one, even if it takes another 10,000 years. The Prime Creator doesn't consider time. It considers the results of the people trying and the lessons learned among the spirits.
Hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. So, Council of 12 and their task, and they failed, and how will that manifest in the world? I mean, will that sort of emerge into the media I suppose that's what's happening right now. That's exactly what we're doing right here, you and I. But will there be any effects that people will see that, you know, the audit has failed and that we have to become more one? I'm answering my own question because I'm thinking, well, yeah, I can see how Andrew's going to answer this question, which is like, yeah, that's our job. Am I right?
That's our job, but we have crib notes, and the crib notes are the pyramids.
Right. Okay, good. Back to the pyramids.
Anchors.
Yes, anchors. A bunch of anchors.
Anchors to what?
Yeah.
Anchors to Prime Creator's original mission, which was to have a high vibration planet with 2,000 bloodlines that have been at war with each other for a very long time, could come and interchange karma and be at peace.
Right. So this is relationship.
Yes.
And the marrying of bloodlines. And that doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's not just like we're talking royal bloodlines and things like that, but all sorts of different bloodlines. Is that right?
All sorts. And for the purpose of healing. Because there are thousands of species out there that have used cloning technology to the point where they can no longer have sex organs that function.
Oh.
And we will be the ones that will be able to pass on the psychic healing energy to them so they can, or the genetic inputs so they can regrow those sexual organs, or to have true love between so that the bloodlines that are in the past and present and future can understand there's a karmic debt has been repaid by having two mortal enemies in true love.
That's interesting.
At some point in time.
That's interesting. Very interesting. So there's going to be a lot more loving, and you know, this is like the whole Age of Aquarius, Age of Love, and all that stuff. Is that there's a whole lot more loving going to go on, and presumably we're going to have to break down a lot of the mores and the taboos. Because those taboos have been put into place in order to keep us dumbed down.
Yep.
Hmm.
I'll give you a little peek into your future. After the event is come and done and settled, you're going to have people coming to you that are going to ask you to do ray readings so they understand the soul groups that they're coming into, so you can help them find somebody that they can procreate with. Because some of these other alien species are now limited to maybe a half dozen people on this world that they could live, they could procreate with, that their DNA will actually intermix because they've muddied down their DNA so much. Also, you'll be able to help them understand how the incarnation rules here can be changed into what ray levels for them to come in as, other things to that effect. You're already doing this in your own level in your dream time, and you've been exposed to it as your galactic brothers and sisters have been talking to you at random points in time throughout your evolution. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're really giving you the opportunity to understand that just your skill of being alive as a ray reader who's gone through all these lifetimes grants you a level of respect that is going to awe you at times. Absolutely awe.
Well, I just hope it was my ex-wife.
I think it will.
That'll show her.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
Could have stayed with me.
Yeah, she rang up this evening and asked me about one of listening to one of my programs. So she's actually listening to one of my archives as we speak. So one day she may catch up. Bless her heart and liver. Anyway, this is fascinating, and that was fascinating, and thank you very much. I hope to. Well, I'm trying to. I often edit the parts when people give me a sort of reading. I try to edit the parts and keep them in a separate place so I can come back to them more easily. But essentially. I'm going to give you Free Sovereign's question. So should we go and sleep with everyone with whom we are in love to assist the combining of the bloodlines? And I just want to ask, you sort of focus that a little bit, because I think, you know, it was semi-flippant, but at the same time it was a very serious and important question. What is the nature of this whole falling in love business? Why do we fall in love only to be ditched or ignored, or all of this stuff? Why do we always fall in love with what seems to be the wrong person?
Well, that's actually an easy answer to that. It's part of the screwed up incarnation rules here. And many of these other planets, you heard it described as very blissfully, everybody understands the concept of love. Well, as soon as you're born here, you get slapped in the ass, an injection put in you, and your umbilical cord cut right away and not put on your mother's heart. So right from the very beginning, you have double negatives. So it's about learning love. Well, you have to learn those through trial and error. And oftentimes your heart connects to the spiritual person that's on the other side, but not the mental present person that's there all the time going through the various changes in their life. And we're here to work out karma between souls and soul groups. You may have a soul group, let's say, from Alcyon that has been defenders of Alcyon for many, many generations. And you may have somebody from the lizard man's home world, and you might have both incarnated in the same neighborhood and went to school together and decided to be high school loves, who ultimately have a story that ends up live on TV, as a mass shooting or whatever.
Oh.
You're exchanging karma between those two soul groups, and we, the people here, get stuck in those scenarios because of these screwed up incarnation rules. As the spiritual courts of equity spawn and we begin to, as a people, to eliminate these screwed up spiritual incarnation contracts and rules, we'll be able to straighten a lot of those love issues out.
So, I've often felt this, you said exactly how I felt it. You know, sometimes I've fallen in love with somebody because of their spirit. And it's like, hang on a second, don't you see me? You want to kind of slap them about a bit and say, hang on, can you not see who's in front of you? I know your soul, and your soul is very familiar to me, and you should be familiar with me, but no, because, obviously I'm in this skin suit, and its appearance doesn't always appear to be their ideal or what the programming of their ideal was. And now I understand more about programming, and maybe I'll be able to get through a bit better. But that's a fascinating thing, Andrew. Fascinating that we do fall in love with the people, and we end up in this very flummoxed state. Like, why did that happen? And what's that all about? And it's because of these. So, do you want to talk a little bit about the incarnation rules?
Yeah. Well, you hear in the Indian conceptual idea that where you're in this endless reincarnation cycle. And that was actually one of the first spiritual programs that were involved here so they could make a trap planet so that souls would be stuck here. So they figured, well, if we make these religions and have some good healing inside them so the spirits will want to stay here a little bit, and we make these new rules and go, all right, so we're going to play the bait and switch game on them as we change the rules on them, you get what we have today. Kind of see what I'm saying?
Go again on that. Try a different approach. I'm being really sick this evening. I don't know why.
Right. I'm battling against some of your soul contract rules that keeps you involved here. It's not that you're going to go flippity-flip all off into the universe. It's just there are certain things that your higher soul says you got to learn at a lower pace, simply because it will put connections in, because you're a Ray reader, and as you're listening to me, you're understanding the potency of the Ray words that are coming out, which is on the galactic sine waves level, so it's all right. Why don't you ask the question again?
Right, okay. So let's try that another way. Wow, that question has gone right out of my mind. Okay, I'll have to listen to this later. I get the idea because, I was talking the other day about how it is good sometimes to do something slowly and not to just kind of, find out the answer, Google it, and you know the answer to something. It's often good because you have to get it into your bones. It's got to work through the bones. Let's go back to the... yes, we were talking about incarnational rules. That's right. That's what it was about. Maybe we'll talk about that later or another time. The pyramids, the Council of Twelve, the stealing of the DNA, and how that was stopped and who that was stopped by. So, explained to us that it was certain members of the Cabal, or is this actually certain members of the Council of Twelve who have been selling off this stuff out the back door? Andrew?
I'm going to cancel the files. I'm there. I'm going to cancel the files you're sending. I think it was screwing my internet connection.
Oh, sorry. Right, okay.
That's fine. We were talking... Sorry, we'll go ahead and say that again.
Yeah, we were talking about the members of the Cabal or the Council of Twelve. Are we talking about the Cabal or the Council of Twelve, or is that the same thing?
The Council of Twelve is what made the Cabal Illuminati. They're the ones that are administrators and the ones that are farming the high-energy souls that are based off of the membership of the Council, seven being dark and five being light.
Right.
So it's an odd number, and each one of them are trying to use these incarnation rules, and the Council of Twelve will vote if they're going to change incarnation rules, or going to vote if they're going to allow a different level of souls in here, because they're figuring out that we have figured out a way beyond their rules.
There's seven and five, and we originally said there should be four. So the light have got one concession from the neutrons, and the dark have got three concessions from the neutrons.
There are no neutrals here anymore. They got kicked out.
That's right. So do we need to restore the neutrals?
Yes.
Yeah.
That prime creator is neutral.
Right. So
it is 444 again.
By putting the number, by putting the prime creator's energy that is coming through the sun, this is the major change and the primal change in the management structure of the planet. Then,
correct.
And that's the energy that is currently infusing, although we can't perceive it with our eyes. Like
correct.
In terms of like seeing solar flares or anything different from what it was, although there are big odd triangles that are opening up on the sun. People are calling portals because then you've got a triangle within the circle, and we see that image, that symbol, all over the place.
That's actually part of these attempts at smuggling stuff out. The sun itself, when it starts to show that, is probably 30 to 40 hours behind the time of what that event took place where they tried to do something. And at the same time, there's an inner exchange. As I described, Earth is in a pay-per-view event, and the Giza pyramid allowed people to remote view other planets as well as to psychically, telepathically interact with whatever pyramid was linked to the other end of that spatial mathematics. So you still have people from Alcyon going through the central sun or going direct from our sun who are able to psychically communicate with the people down here. They're called starseeds.
Right.
Okay. They're often, many of them are called your guides. Mm-hmm. Some are Earth-based guides that have lived millions of lifetimes on Earth, and then you have your star brother and sister guides. who literally vibrate on another planet behind them, and then they reach out through our sun and our Stargate and through our network of pyramids to communicate to people that are genetically similar to them, or etherically similar to them, or soul group similar to them. And people like you, you know, are a ray reader, they would be coming in with ray reading skills, looking for members of the population that they can begin a form of communication to wake them up.
Right.
On a big scale, millions of them would be doing it.
Mm. I had a strapline on my website years ago, which is I don't know if I still got it. Is it as waking the world one soul at a time? it's a long job, but if we can get some teamwork into here, then it'll take a lot less time. My mind keeps coming back to this this device. I don't think I should go into this, but it's the latest Intel photonic computer communication device that communicates between computers rather than over copper, but using light and using a specific form of amplification technique. Now I'm talking about it. But this chip is made from silicon, and it's very cheap to make, and it amplifies light by stripping the charge from a neutron, a photon, which becomes an electron and a hole, and the hole goes one way, and then as the electron goes through the quartz, it multiplies like a cascade effect that comes like a fusion reactor or something like that, that amplifies the light. So I keep seeing this image, so it must be that by passing through the radio, it basically amplifies about 20-fold, so one pulse of light creates 20 pulses of light. So that's about how much we've got in the chat room here. So I think we're definitely pulsing out our light. Yeah, more than that. That's good. Basically, people don't really need to even speak about this to other people because it will come out telepathically through their life. And there are people all over the world, all over America, all over the countries. So it's actually a very beautiful thing that is happening just now as we speak this. Ah, the Vogel cut crystal. This is something. You're reading the chat room. Yeah. The Vogel cut crystal does this amplification effect like that. Interesting.
It does.
Excellent.
The more cuts you have in it, the more impressive.
Hmm.
The craftsman makes the Vogel crystal, and somebody like you, who is a ray reader, who could take a raw piece of stone and have it cut down into its absolute perfect conception of a ray. Example, you could take a big piece of crystal and make it so it has 128 sides on it, and you put it in the hand of you, who does dowsing or does pendulum work. What do you think you could do with something like that?
Well, I received a new pendulum the other day that has a rose quartz Merkaba that spins in its little gimbal between a little crystal sphere and a crystal point. It cost me £12. It was brilliant. It's beautiful. That was pretty interesting, the kind of questions that we were having with that. That's an interesting thing, yeah. My girlfriend and I, we both douse, but when I hold a pendulum and I say give me yes, it swings backwards and forwards, and when I say no, it swings round in a clockwise circle, and when I say give me inappropriate question, it spins backwards in an anti-clockwise direction. And yet, when she douses, if she gets a yes, it's spinning clockwise, and if she gets a no, it's spinning anti-clockwise, and she gets completely different different readings from the same swinging pendulum. You got any ideas about that?
Yes, there's a common technique this is actually information that's coming direct from the galactic hive mind that I'm functioning with. What it is you need to be connected more. You can sit back to back and begin to record your pendulums, or you can have your hand over her heart, sitting next to her, like putting your hand over her back. Mm-hmm. As she begins to douse, and as you begin to douse and do the same thing, she can do that. And then your two energies will begin to combine in crown chakra, and your dowsing as a group mind will begin to grow together like a natural muscle.
Interesting. And presumably that will improve telepathy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you will be able to communicate through your telepathically through your pendulums.
Mm-hmm.
You won't need to say anything because it'll just start being moving in a pattern and direction, and that will trigger the telepathic communication.
Mm. Yeah, but I've been when I tune into things, because I've got to a point now. I don't use pendulums very much. I don't use them very much because I normally do the muscle checking thing, and recently it's got to the point on my muscle checking where I hold my thumb and pinky together on my left hand and I pull them apart, if I'm in truth then it's like they're glued together, and if it's not a question, then it's like they're completely separate, and I can pull them apart very easily. But it's even got to the point now where I can feel when I'm connected into a yes, and it's like that 20. Is it? I can't remember what is it. 20 questions where you, if you keep asking questions, get your yes answer. You get to the end of the game. And it's holding that position of phrasing your questions so that you get a yes answer, and that you keep holding that creates the flow of chi in your body. That's good. That you get a whole energy of chi in your body. I can even do it with one hand now. That I try to pull my fingers apart, and if it's yes, the fingers just won't come apart.
Yep.
So
that's one method. There are additional methods which you can co-create with your ability. You realize how deep of a ray reader you are.
Hmm.
You can do it through drawing. You can do it through music. You can use tuning forks. It's all about what you choose to be a master at. If you're a master of 1, 2, 3 method, or a master of 7, 8, or 9 methods.
Hmm.
And there may be times of the year that you just know the ray energies are different and you need to change to a different form. So you'll need many tools in the toolbox.
Mm, interesting. Okay, so we have a new guest who's going to come in. And this is Olivia Valencia, all the way from Orange County. Orange. 1444, it's Orange. Come in, my dear. Where are you? Olivia, hi, how are you doing?
Okay. I just came from a workout, so still trying to catch my breath here.
Okay.
How are you?
Well, according to Andrew, I'm going to be fine.
Hey, Olivia, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. So what are you all talking about?
Let's see if I can recapitulate this very quickly. My guest, William Stillings, I sort of half booked him, but he may not actually turn up. So I'll just have a kind of rolling thing. Andrew, if you want to check in or check out, you can stay with us.
I'll stay. We're having a good old time here.
Yeah. So let's have a kind of 4-hour Beyond Special. Beyond Special.
Super Ever Beyond Special. We're still taking names for it.
Yeah. Because we're getting pretty galactic. So if I can recapitulate for Olivia's benefit, Andrew started off the show with a short description of things that are happening just now. Namely, that there's been a capturing of a bunch of DNA smugglers who have been teleporting DNA off the planet that has been preserved using the gold that they've stolen from us. And it's been noticed by the senior management, and these people have been dealt with. But they've been using pyramids as teleportation devices in order to get this stuff off the planet. Have I lost the thread somewhere?
You kind of lost it. The pyramids were the anchors. That's what allowed this to take place. That type of interaction.
Right.
Then we went on to incarnation rules, which are linked to the pyramids, and what the Council of 12 is and what its job was.
Right. So, are you up to speed, Olivia?
Not really.
let's just say if you and I were talking off the books, Olivia, it would have been one of those make you smile shows.
Okay. Yeah. As we've spoken already out there, how I verbally talk very simple because the way it's hard to translate for me. So when we speak in other terms of language through energy. So, but the pyramid thing, I hear so many things that people have, so many theories of what concepts, what they are and stuff. And I think I've said this before on the air with you, JP, that some of these pyramids were actually flown in from other galactics. There were battles. So not all the pyramids were built here in this planet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
And the ones that were built here, they were replicas of the originals because they saw what it was able to provide. And so some of the other families that came from other places showed the natives here, the tribes, how to use it and how to replicate it. That being that the material was of this planet, you can tell the difference. But I don't think archaeologists and physics have actually realized it yet because it's been overcoded.
Right. Only the metaphysics people are beginning to scratch at the surface in its meaning.
Yeah, the metaphysics, yeah. And that's why it's so important to take metaphysics, and it's been kind of shunned down for a long time. The metaphysics actually gets into not only yourself, but it gets to connected of the earth and all the elements that exist, and by doing that, you communicate, and it teaches you a lot. Even more about what your gifts are.
Yeah, and speaking about gifts, Olivia, I know she has a thing about what she is. She's as different as me as I am to JP. She has a very different set of rules for her spirit coming here, and I have a very different set of rules for me coming here.
Yes.
There are things Olivia can co-create and talk with all day long, and then there are things that she can't because her spirit has a specific purpose. When you get on air with me, who has a totally different purpose, I'm able to say information that she can't physically say, as well as JP adds to it. And this is the free-willed part of co-creating with a prime-neutral concept in the administrator. We're doing what the administration should have been doing by co-creating in this manner so we can come to a point in healing in our species.
Thank you for saying co-creators because people seem to get confused about what is like a creator and what is a co-creator and what is the aspects of before becoming a co-creator. Because you get people talking and saying, I'm a creator, like I'm a god and you're a god and stuff like that. I went, do you understand what a god is? Do you understand how to become a god? You have to earn that title. You're just not born to become a god just because we came from one. You have to earn that title. You have to do your homework. You have to graduate until you end up back to source. And they will decide after they critique you what you've learned.
And that's what the audit or the central sun pulse that's coming is, as I was telling JPM earlier on the show.
Yeah. Oh, the sun plays a big part of our education. That is one of the schools.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to expand on that, Olivia?
Hello?
Do you want to expand on that again? The sun is a school?
It's one of the schools, too. Well, there's life in there. There's people living inside it. It's also a transport location. But there's life in there. It's a big old giant ship that goes elsewhere. Just like our planet is, too, and the other planets.
Remember I was telling you our planet was moved?
Yeah. So, I just saw this thing on Facebook that the moon is older than the Earth, so that must have come in another time.
Yes, it was brought in.
Yeah, so, okay, it was brought in, using the passive verbs. Who brought it in? When and why? And how much did it cost?
How much did it cost?
Yeah!
Who uses money?
Well, energy.
Okay. How much energy did it cost?
Yeah,
much,
I mean, how do you...
How much elements did it cost to put this thing together? Or how much energy, creators and co-creators' energy, did it take to do this?
It's definitely government over budget here.
I mean, is it always over budget and late? Did it arrive on time? Is it like British Rose? It's the wrong kind of teleport. Anyway,
there was another moon. There was actually two moons at one time. That I believe that I was informed a long time ago when I was a kid that the other one exploded. I don't remember the entire story.
It was left as a trap when it was teleported from one place to another, and then it blew up. And when it blew up, it killed a whole bunch of nasty things that were chasing Europe.
Yes. I just kind of remember that one middle part you just said. Okay, back to school.
Again, it's different rules. I have a different perspective on the galactic history, part of the reason that I came here and co-created an incarnation here. Not everyone will understand it, but those that do will be led to search for their own truth. And that's fine. I knew that that was coming. I knew that would be a challenge. And I'm here to honor that challenge with my best attempt now. And same thing with Olivia and JP. They're here in their heart and their spirit, trying to bring as much of the truth forward that they've learned, and so that we can come on air and co-create a new truth that we all can say, hey, At least we got something out of this.
we have quite an interesting collection, and you know, there are people who kind of pass through and come by, and there are conflicts and there are misunderstandings, and eventually you all and everybody ends up at the right place at the right time. Here we have. Olivia, again. Now, remember, I was saying before, Andrew, that that the Earth has a 2-4 ray package. So that's a ray 2 soul and a ray 4 personality. That's Olivia. She has a ray 2 soul and a 4th ray personality. So in that way,
yes, I'm very connected to the Earth.
That's right.
And she is an agent of the Prime Creator, given a specific mission here to help reprogram the concepts here.
Yes, thank you for saying program, but that's exactly what it is. I do hold. I'm one of the ones of a handful that are actually in charge of the computer programming of this the Earth and the universe. But that's kind of hard to explain when one cannot see it, you know, unless you're really, really high into your metaphysical, and at a certain point that if you ask me to do something and I do something, hopefully you will be able to see me doing it. Well, another person that doesn't have no concept whatsoever would just stand there and look at me and go, all she's doing is standing there, you know. But the other person will see me totally doing something. you know, it depends what side of the mirror you're at and how you're seeing things.
And how much source code is returned to you so you can understand source code's neutral perspective.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you, source codes.
Source codes, yes. I like a nice sauce. I like tomato sauce myself. The reason I'm being flippant is because we're coming up to the hour here, and I think people really, and I certainly do, need to take a wee break for a wee, and to put the kettle on. So I'd like to play some music, and meanwhile everybody can stretch and get their things back, and then we'll come back with Ever Beyond in its regular position, and after that we're going to have Frank Jordan and his healing meditation program, and after that we'll have Eva Moore with her evolution. Should be interesting. She always comes up with some very, very interesting things. The whole DNA thing and the black liquid stuff, Andrew. All very good. So I'd like to thank you all for listening just now. And, there's Jessica. Right, and I'd like to put some music on and give everybody an opportunity to relax those important muscles, stretch, and I'll be back in, more than me, currently with Andrew Bartsis, Olivia Valencia, and myself, JP. We're here on Wolf Spirit Radio. It is listener-supported. Please click the donate button and help Dave keep the stream running without having it to come out of his pockets, because he's got lots of dogs to look after and a horse and others. Anyway, so we'll be back in about 7 minutes time. I'm going to be playing a fantastic band. They are Lynn Stokes and the Soul Surfers. Let me just put some music on for an outro. So, until we meet again, which is about 7 minutes time, thank you very much. This has been a special Beyond the Box, Out of the Box experience with Andrew Bartsis and myself, JP, and Olivia Valencia. We'll be continuing after the top of the hour after this piece of music. Thank you very much. Daylight.